Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studio for another Coaches Show. Of course, in the springtime, we start at 8:30 instead of 9 o'clock, but this might be the last Saturday for the 8:30 start. So next Saturday, we'll go back to 9 o'clock because we're wrapping things up here in spring sports. And we got on the phone with us head coach Kip Stender of the La Caprile Valley girls golf team. And Kip, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, you're on your way to Becker, I understand, huh?
Yeah, we'll get a practice round in today and get back down there a couple times next week also and be prepared for the state tournament on the 13th and 14th.
Okay. Well, congratulations on another section championship this past week. Tell us all about it, Kip.
All right. Well, the girls shot awesome both days, actually. Wednesday, we really wanted to, keep that pressure on. Talked about, being more aggressive, and we did shoot one stroke better than the week before, so that was nice to see. The first time, I think, possibly, that we've shot better on our second day at sections than the first day. Definitely the first time we shot a 703 combined two-day score. So that was really nice. The girls have worked really hard all season, and we put a lot of work inside before we could get outside, and it really paid off. And it was just an awesome day, and each girl, had a lot of positive things that happened that day. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's right. I believe you won by 40-some shots over second-place Bold, huh?
Yeah, so Bold finished second with a 748. Dawson Boyd was a 761, and Community Christian had an 807. Currently, Dawson Boyd is the sixth best-scoring team in Class A, and Bold's the fifth best, so they're very good teams. And we're probably second, or we're third now today. So we're in the hunt there, but they're very good teams. So we have a very good section, a very good conference, and that helps us be better because we just have to keep working hard to stay ahead. So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Individual wise, Bella Jacobs was the medalist. Shot a 159. She had an 82 on Wednesday. Very consistent. Didn't get out of scoring position. If she had a bad shot, she was able to score from there. So she did what she's done all season, went out and played with the best in the section there and won it. Molly Halverson placed second. She shot a 79, her personal best on 18, and finished with a 162 overall, so three strokes behind Bella. She was focused all 18 holes, starting to learn to not lose that focus in a round. 18 holes is a long time, and we see that with our program over the years. It takes some age and some experience to learn and understand how you can't let up and not focus for 1 second. Once you're over the ball, once you're going to make your swing. So she did a nice job of that. Third place in the section was Kendra Hendrickson from Bold. She shot an 86, finished with a 165. Lindsay Lund, Dawson Boyd, was fourth with a 174. Katrina Valen from Community Christian was a 182, was fifth. Caitlin Kittleson finished tied for sixth with a 185 with Alyssa Swadinsky from Dawson Boyd. Caitlin shot a 93, and something about Caitlin that day was she just stuck with it and had a super comeback. Started off a little rough with a couple holes with an 8 and a 9, and it's amazing that she hung in there and finished with a birdie on her very last hole. So very good round and very good score for Caitlin. And then finishing eighth was Tori Osterfield from Bold. So those five girls that I mentioned that aren't on our team are the qualifiers individually for the state. Grace Fossig finished ninth, the 197. 97 was her personal best on 18. But she's just been consistent all year. She remained that way, consistent off the tee, getting a little more yardage out of her driver lately in the last few weeks and this year compared to last year, so that's helped her out a lot. And I was watching her on hole 11 and saw her, you know, was on the fringe kind of and putted the ball towards the hole and then made the next putt, and so she came off, just kind of walked right towards me and had this little smile on her face that was a birdie, and that was my first birdie of the year, and just walked on to the next hole.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And so that was her drive that was sitting there by the green. It was a shorter hole when we play down below, but it's still a 200-yard-plus shot. And
nice.
And so I'm like, okay, your drive's going over 200 yards now, so that's really nice. And so, because I didn't know at the point when I saw her, you know, make that first putt on the fringe, if that was her second shot to that point or her first shot.
Yep. So, nice.
So good tournament for Grace. Peyton Sachs finished 19th with a 212. She had a 105. She gained a lot of valuable experience in first time being at sections and the nerves. And
she a
you
seventh
know,
grader or eighth grader? Or?
She's an eighth grader.
Eighth grade, okay.
You know, the good thing, you know, that Peyton had too was she shot a 49 on the front, actually both days, and the front plays longer. And is that, you know, we feel it's more challenging, but it's different for each style of player, the front or the back, which one's more challenging. But she gained a lot of great experience there, and then shooting, you know, breaking 50 on either of those nines is a great thing when it's your first time there. And then Kate Alstead finished 22nd with a 215. She had a 106. The thing with Kate, the positive thing, she had three pars tonight, starting this year. One of those.
Nice. Yeah, I think Kate had mentioned that that was her personal best as well. So, yeah, we lose you, Kip. Yeah, I think we lost Kip. Well, we'll take a commercial break and regroup here, and we'll see if we can get Kip back on the line. Oh, are you there, Kip?
I can hear you, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yep. We lost you for a little bit, but you're back.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I haven't moved. I'm just outside the van, parked in an approach here.
we're talking about Kate.
Kate had a great tournament. That was her, you know, her personal best in the three pars. So she's starting to get it all put together. You know, I think she grew a foot in the last year, so a lot of that's, you know, coming, and she's doing just fine. Okay. So we're getting ready for state. We're going to go down there and, you know, do our best. This has been a great team. They really believe in each other. They follow their routine. They're mm-hmm. super at moving forward. So,
great. How many years in a row has this been for you?
5 years.
5 years in a row. Okay, going to state. Awesome.
Yep. You know, and
the girls know Pebble Creek really well, don't they?
Yeah, most of them have, you know, been there. You know, Kate once, Grace and Molly and Caitlin three times, and Bella's played there four. So we're going to get to know it better. You know, the last 3-4 weeks, we've gone to Wilmer a couple times to just play nine after school. And, you know, I tell the girls, you know, Eagle Creek's my favorite course, and because they've got some challenging holes, and they were all kind of grumbling about a few holes, and they hate that hole and this and that. And I'm like, no, it's my favorite course, you know. And then
okay.
I did not hear one negative thing about any holes this last 2 weeks.
okay.
So then I said, that's why, because we won the four titles going into the fifth one here. And then now I said, Eagle Creek's our favorite course in May. June, our favorite course is Pebble Creek. So I hope that works for that. So,
yep.
But we had a 382 in Wilmer there, first tournament of the season, which is a 764, so we shaved off 61 strokes from the first first golf event. So that shows the hard work of those girls and my assistant coaches, Chad Gallen and Mark Halverson, just do a super job. They're great swing coaches and great with the girls, and together we have a great team and a real, you know, real fun time.
Okay. Well, you have a great round, a practice round today at Becker. Do you get more practice rounds at Becker, or is just one?
Well, you know, they on Monday, the day before
Yep.
And scheduled out, and you got to sign up.
Okay.
And we did that years ago. It's a long day. It's typically hot, and we want.
Okay. Well, we're losing you again, Kip, so you have a great day today. That's head coach Kip Stender. We'll take a commercial break and talk Lockbarrow Valley Boys Golf with Barry Bessonen right after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunday by appointment. The Country Butcher will deliver fresh cut and frozen products free of charge during the city's infrastructure project. Call between 10 and noon each day for delivery that day or evening. The retail store will remain open and will cut fresh steaks and chops and have fresh ground beef on hand. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Lockbarrow Valley Boys Golf with head coach Barry Bessonen. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning.
Well, winding down the season here, you had section golf in Eagle Creek and Wilmer this past week.
Yes, we played the second day of the section on Wednesday, and you know, the one that you kind of throw all the marbles there and determine who goes on, and you know, so we played nice warm day, good conditions to play, good scoring conditions, good. Yeah. Good weather we've been waiting for all spring. So we had two individuals participating. We had Carson Bessonen and Caden Stender. And as a result, Caden shot 96 for the day, his first time playing that second day of section. So it was a good experience for him.
Nice.
Carson finished, shot 82 to finish second place. You know, was neck and neck for the lead for about 13 holes, and kind of saw the other guy passed him and got a lead and ran out of holes and kind of cruised in. You know, knew where he was, knew he was going to be second, and he had a pretty comfortable margin on second, so good enough to advance, which is the ultimate goal, and so second's definitely a good result, and so he'll advance to the state tournament here on the 13th and 14th in Becker.
Yeah, Carson's been there before. How many years has he done this, Barry?
This is his third time going.
Third time.
So he's definitely played the course a number of times and been through the whole gamut of things that goes on there, with everything from the banquets to the just kind of the whole, you know, atmosphere of a lot more people running around and kind of a big stage, and it's a much kind of a bigger golf course. It's longer, and it's kind of just bigger greens and more bunkers and a lot of things that you know, we don't see as much, if at all, around here. So he's been through it, and
he'll be a little more comfortable this year.
Be a little more comfortable. You know, last year he was about 25th place, so he started getting a little more comfortable from the year before. And, you know, this year his goal then is to improve on that and try and get down into medal contention.
Yeah, that's for sure. Wednesday, we're back on Eagle Creek. You got some results there for team, Barry?
Yeah, okay. BBE is the section champion.
They shot 703. They were led by Brady Schwinghammer, who won the tournament. Brady shot 1 under 771 on Wednesday. He was tough to beat. He definitely had it going on for him. I think they said it was his career low by a few shots. So good for Brady. Nice kid. Him and Carson are friends.
Okay.
So congratulations to him and to Coach Matt Goodwin over at BBE for winning. They won it last year, too. So back-to-back for them. Dawson Boyd was second. They're about four shots back. Community Christian was third, and then YME was fourth to round out the team aspect of the field.
Yep. And I believe Dawson Boyd's Carson Stratmoon, just an eighth grader, qualified for state as well. So congratulations to him. And Carson Bessonen knows all about that. Carson went as a seventh or eighth grader first time?
Eighth grader. Seventh grade was the COVID year. So.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Didn't have a season. So.
Okay. Carson feeling pretty good about going into the state this year then?
Yeah, he is. Again, okay. It's experience, and there's experiences is valuable, and just being a little older and a little bigger and a little stronger and a little more confident, and so good. he's excited to get going there and get over there and practice here 2-3 times,
and you get to go to Becker to practice a couple times, huh?
Yeah, we'll get over there and have some practice rounds
good.
See if there's anything different on the course from the past, if anything's changed or not.
All right, real good, Barry. Well, thanks for the report on the boys there, and good luck to Carson at state golf. That's actually not this week. It's the following week, right?
It's the following week. I know there's still some sections that are finishing up their section play this week. So it is the 13th and 14th of June. Wednesday.
Good. And I'll be there covering it again. I love covering state golf. It's a great venue. Pebble Creek is a great venue for that, isn't it?
It is a great venue. They take good care of the kids. And like I said, it's a great challenging course. It's one you play well, you can do well on. But if you don't play well, it can
eat you up.
It can eat you up a little bit.
All right, Barry. Thanks for the report this morning. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Barry Bessonen on golf. We'll take a break, come back, and see if we can talk tennis with Austin Ireland right after this.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, Minnesota, showing Friday, June 2nd through Monday, June 5th. It's animated fun from Sony Pictures in Theater 1. It's Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, rated PG. That's Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse in Theater 1. In Theater number 2 at the Grand, held over, Guardians of the Galaxy, rated PG-13. That's Guardians of the Galaxy in Theater 2. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand. If you like high school sports, you'll love the Camden Recap, an all-sports weekly newspaper covering the schools of the Camden Conference, covering 13 school districts comprised of dozens of communities. From RTR to Ortonville, TMB to KMS, Lac Parle Valley to RCW, Dawson Boyd to Canby, everywhere in between, they've got your Camden Conference sports covered. For advertising and subscriptions, email advertising@camdenrecap.com or call 320-297-1461. That's 320-297-1461 for the Camden Recap.
Fieldcrest Fertilizer of Madison says hats off to the following Lac qui Parle Valley graduates: Aiden Lewis, Alexander Lewis, Claire Lowry, Riley Lund, Madeline Matthews, Benjamin Maddox, Paige Meyer, and Nicole Miller-Rakowski. It's the sincere wish of Fieldcrest Fertilizer of Madison that you have a prosperous future and continued success. This graduating message comes from Fieldcrest Fertilizer, Madison.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. I've got Austin Ireland, the head coach of the Dawson Boyd Lac qui Parle Valley Boys Tennis Team, on the phone with us. Good morning, Austin.
Morning, Paul.
Well, it's hard to believe the season's already done, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It was just getting started.
Yep. All right, tell us what happened this past week with the, what do you call them? What's the nickname of the boys tennis team?
Well, the bad guys.
The bad guys, okay. So how the bad guys do?
Well, you know, we did pretty well overall, but wasn't quite able to pull it off. We took on, we had the Redwood Falls. That's where we have our Section 3A all of our tournaments there, and this is the day two of the section individuals. We had Jackson Buehr and Gavin Stoltz, and they took on the number one seed Tyson Quigley and Simon Fitzcappis out of Montevideo. And boy, it was a heavyweight fight. You could have sworn Howard Cosell was there. It was just pound for pound. Those guys were back and forth, back and forth. Montevideo ended up beating us, though, 6-3, 6-4. We started out doing well. You get into a rut where you can't get your serves in, they're a really great team. So, they did a nice job, though. I mean, I think a big thing, too, was, Montevideo started out serving, and we couldn't break their serve. And, we don't win one of our serve matches, and that's kind of how it ended up there. And, it was a lot of fun, because a lot of guys, other coaches and stuff were watching, and it was kind of like, hey, they thought, these are the two best teams coming out of there. They thought this is the championship match itself, as well. A couple other coaches had come up to us and said that, and we took a lot out of each other. There's a lot of points going into deuce, and
okay.
A lot of video guys had the best of us. And then so then we dropped down to the third place matchup. We took on Cole Johnson and Canyon Hicks from Redwood, and we won the first set 6-0. And it was a true second possible. So we looked over at the other courts, and Montevideo team was up 5-0. And next thing we know, we lost that second set 6-4, and ended up losing that third set 6-3. And it's funny because you look back at the other score in that championship matchup, Montevideo ended up losing 7-5.
Oh, wow.
So at one point we won the first set 6-0, and Montevideo was up 5-0 in that first set. They lost that first set 7-5, and so we wouldn't have had a true second match anyway. And it's hard to keep on going too when you see that. And I give a lot of credit to Gavin Stoltz and Jackson Buehr. They fought really hard and played the whole matchup. And we kind of waited for weather like this,
right?
But it's warm out.
That's right.
especially when you got playing, a third setter for third place.
Okay.
That can take a lot out of you. I don't care how well shaped you are, how mentally tough you are, you're going to be sweating. You're going to be losing a lot of energy. So.
Okay. All right. Well, good showing by those two. And I understand you had your banquet last night. So I got a few minutes here. Can you run through some awards?
Yeah. Well, we kind of cut it down on the awards. We try not to, try to.
Okay.
We had where the players vote on that, So the MVP, most valuable player vote went to Jackson Buehr, and Jackson was a two-time captain on the team. He's a nice leader, on and off the court. Most improved player of the year was Thomas Felton. Thomas showed a lot of strides. The kid's got a bright future. He's a freshman, just doing a great job getting the hang of the game, When we got outside finally, he could really move, he can really play. And then our team spirit award, we changed the name to that quite a bit. It's called Mr. Brightside. That one, we had a lot of, the boys had a lot of different votes on that one, but that award went to Tony Reap. Tony played third doubles for us a little bit, and he also played some fourth singles here in that time. So, yeah, it was a good show. It was a good time. We had an all-conference, went to we had one player, and that was Jackson Buehr. I think that's the second year in a row he's been all conference. And we have seven teams. I think there's only 15 players in the whole conference get all conference, and there's seven teams in our conference. And so to be one of the top players in the conference, that's a nice award here. West Central is real strong.
It is. Okay.
Yep. And then our captain for next year, we don't have any juniors on the squad, so that's kind of nice, yep. I guess, but captains for next year, the players voted on by the players pretty unanimous. They got Luke Stock and Gunnar Olsen.
Nice.
And I think that's a fair assessment. Those guys, they do a great job. They played one double for us, and we got a lot of sophomores there, so hopefully they can lead them. And
good squad coming back then.
Yep, that's for sure. So it's going to be some growing pains, losing Jackson and Gavin and Matthew Martinson. That's going to be hard to replace those guys, but bad guys just they just evolve.
All right. All right. Well, good year for you, Austin, there. Appreciate you being on the Coach's Show every Saturday morning, keeping us updated on the boys' tennis team. Thank you.
The honor's all mine. You get to be on 92.1. Dream come true.
Make you a radio star.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Thanks, Austin. We'll talk to you next year then.
Yep, thank you.
Austin Ireland, head coach of the Dawson Boyd Lacrobat Valley Boys tennis team. We're going to take a break here at the top of the hour here, and we'll be back with more of the Coach's Show after the news and weather.
It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coach's Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coach's Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coach's Show. John Sherb's in the studio. We're going to talk Lacrobat Valley Dawson Boyd boys and girls track right now as the season is winding down, or it is almost done. I got state track yet, and John's in the studio once again. John, congratulations. At the section meet, you were named the Section 3A Girls Coach of the Year. Congratulations.
It's a nice honor for the program. I've got a lot of good kids that really helped to get way on coaches.
Do the coaches vote on that?
Yeah, all the section coaches have a chance to vote on whoever they got, and so...
So how long have you been coaching track? Since you graduated high school?
Well, it's now
college?
Since I graduated college. I've been around with, Dave Nibby, got me into the program and started working in the system, slowly working up. So that's back, 92? It's been a while, but it's been fun. I've really had some good kids.
Yeah, and, well, you ran track for Madison and then at NDSU, right?
Yes.
Okay. What events did you do at NDSU?
Usually I ran the 1500, which is 100 meters shorter than a mile, and then also I ran the 800 or indoors. We had indoor, I ran 1,000. So basically that middle distance was kind of my forte with that.
So after you graduated from NDSU, you got your teaching here in Dawson or Lacrobat?
I came back the first year off. I was just kind of subbing for the first year and helped my dad the farm a little bit, and then had some openings, and I slowly got into... I found some openings for teaching and started there.
There you're off and running.
Yes, off and running.
In the blink of an eye here, huh?
Yeah.
So many years. So.
Yes.
Well, congratulations on that honor. And hey, let's talk about the section track meet.
Yeah, the section track meet was Thursday. Not the greatest conditions. It was a little on the steamy side and a little bit of some wind and that bright sun. So heat was a major issue. I know we had a couple of kids that really got bit by it, and that's part of where it goes. And you try to prepare the best you can, and you remind the kids the best you can, but it still is that whole scenario of following through with it, or how well they prepare themselves, or getting themselves out of the sun. So we had a little bit of a biting issue there that affected us on a couple of our events, but it was very good. I started at 2 o'clock over there. Going in, our best shots was Brayson in the high jump, long jump, triple jump. That was his ones that had the best chance to go, we thought. Hurdles, we had chance in the hurdles. We had James in the hurdles, had a good chance there. We thought he was going to be in the hunt of things. Also, we thought Ayanna Hastad in the high jump would have a very, very good shot in there. And then also Addie Tufto in there. That was kind of ones we kind of had penciled, we thought. But again, things happen, you never know, and that's the thing, is that's what's so good about the meet, is what paper doesn't mean a heck of a lot. You still got to perform on the course and do the events we did. So like I said, that's where we went. So very, very good day for the kids. I thought our kids really gave themselves chances. We moved, had to move some kids around. That's with the coaching staff and the kids we're working with. They're very, very open to the idea of moving kids around. And that's really, very important. And that's what we had to do a little bit with that. We had to do a little work in there. So basically go through what we had for our roster for running. We did not have anybody in the 100 and 200. Our 400-meter dash, Micaiah Poost, was sixth overall. She ran a personal best of 104.03. Looked very, very strong. She really had a really outstanding section meet. I was very pleased with her. Then, unfortunately, Addie Tufto had issues with the heat. She ran the 4x2, and she just basically had, had a tough handoff between her and Bailey Bothan, and we've been really good on handoffs, and Bailey had to actually slow up a little bit to get the stick because she was basically running out of gas and lightheaded and got the stick off, and they kind of helped her around, and she came and caught me before with the 400, and she did not look good. Her mom brought her over, looked at her, and got it taken care of, and we just said, done. We got her in a tent, looked at it, got her cooled down, got her better, just... So that was a big blow on the girls' team, was to have her, you know, not. But again, it's part of life, and part of the thing is it's not the end of the world. And, you know, her health is more important than anything else when we look at it. And so it just was done with it. So then we had to re-scramble a little bit in our 4x4, but, you know, we had ideas where we were going to go at. So that, it felt bad for her. You know, the good thing is she's only a sophomore. Hopefully she can build off and look down the road. Girls 800, Taylor Wood was seventh, 235.24. The front field got out really, really hot, and so she did not quite get into that area, and she felt really uncomfortable with the heat and not liking that. But she also had a very good leg of our 4x8, so it was kind of a bounce back there. Mile, boys mile, Gavin Carl looked really, really good. He really has had some smart races. The last two meets, he's really, really has ran sharp with his idea of the running, not running too hard, you know, protecting himself, doesn't get caught in a spot where he's not wearing himself out or getting caught with other kids that have a little stronger leg kick. And he went 4:49.02, and that is right near his personal best right there. I think it's a little short by a second, but still in that heat to start it off and to go at, and I thought he looked very comfortable with that. Girls mile, Chloe Gleggie was 16th at 16:15.55. Again, she's another one that really doesn't like the heat as much. And just, again, it's that whole mental and preparing, and you go. And she's only an eighth grader, too, and that's probably that learning process, too, of how to handle and be smart with things. Gavin came back in the 2 mile. Ran really, really well. He got in the group that we thought he'd be sitting, because like, he was seated like fifth coming in, and he sat there, and then about right before the mile mark, he took off and tried separating himself from the other guys to get himself into more of a consistent fourth, and that was a big move for him because he's done it with the RTR kid who beat him last time, and letting the kickers race, he can't kick with him. So he learned to be able to make a move, and he started pressing the issue in the middle laps, and that really separated and took a lot of the drama out of it. So he was able to go strong. So he ended up going 10:36.74. Now that is a PR for him, so that's a really good improvement. And our field is very, very sound on the boys 2 mile. The three guys in front of them are really, really talented, and to be in that field with them was very good for him. Chloe Gleggie came back in the 2 mile. It was 11th at 14:03. Brooklyn Starrett was 14th at 14:54.52. Reese Oxnorth was 15th at 14:57.74. And it's always tough on those 2 miles, especially in that heat, having to sit around, especially Brooklyn and Reese had to sit around the whole meet. You know, they get there at 1 o'clock, and then you turn around, don't run until 7:15. So it's a long time to sit around and kind of like sit in a microwave oven. It just was kind of that way, but how that went. Boys hurdles, that was kind of our first step we looked at. James had a shot, and that had to run well. He would finish fourth, time of 16:57. Ethan Hersom, who had just a great finish, he was actually, you know, in the slow heat, he went 16:81, which is a PR. He finished fifth, and it's very, very tough to do that, to come out of that, you know, slow heat to do that, and had just a great race in there, and you got to like the way he closed out his career as a senior to finish those hurdles. Ayanna Hasta was eighth in the hurdles at 18:40. In the 100 hurdles, and then the 300 hurdles, we had our two boys, again, Ethan and James in there. James was fifth in there at 14:43, and then Ethan Hersom was sixth at 44:81, and that is a personal better record for him, and that's, you know, great way. Again, we talked about how he finished it off. Like I said, James was 43:43 to finish in that spot there. So we came a little short there. Then our 4x1s, we had a little of a kind of a problem we had. We lost our good anchor with Garrett with a pulled hammy 2 weeks before. Then we thought we're going to be short getting in. Then we end up getting our 4x1, and well, our anchor from the subsection meet was going on vacation to Mexico for the next month. So now we're scrambling trying to put together who's going to run what spots and everything else. So we did a little rearranging. We got a crew together there. And the boys looked very good. I was very pleased because we were not able to do any handoffs at all Wednesday when that storm rolled through, so we didn't get a chance to really break anything down there. But they went 49.01, and that, I believe, is a season best for us right there. And that was, I think that's ran fast, and we ran at subsections too. So that was a really good finish there. That was Ethan Hursom to Noah Meyer to David Torgerson to Gabe Lowry, and they were 15th. Girls 4x1. Ran their personal best, season best in there, and that was really good. The kids really come along. That 4x1 really kind of started ticking a little bit there. That was Peyton Moe to Bailey Botham to Morgan Hanson to Sadie Hacker. They finished 12th at 54.49. 4x2, boys, again, we rearranged that boys 4x2 because, again, our anchor person was gone again on that one, so we had to figure that one out. So we got 14th with that, a 143.93. And that was Keegan to Eli to David to Tanner. And that was Tanner Callis. They slid in. Tanner slid in that one spot just to fill that. So you got to like the way they finished. 4x2 had the trouble with on the second to third with Addie being a little bit with that heat got to her. But still, I thought Lexi gave us a great leadoff leg. And then we built off that and ran well for that. We finished 7th. At 153.02, and that was Lexi Gligi to Addie Tufte to Bailey Botham to Maya Conroy. 4x4, had to beat that one up a little bit. Boys, Boyk had a little tough on the long jump on his first attempt, jammed his knee a little bit, and didn't bother him all through the long jumping and triple jump, high jump, but then he had that dead time from there to go in the 4x4. It stiffened up on him a little bit, and so it's like, we can't run them. Yeah, that's going to be a big drop because we probably would have fit with have him in there. We're probably going to finish 4th or so in that, but we had this. So, but Tanner was around. Tanner Callis, who our young freshman who's been around there, we kept him around just to make sure we had. So we put him in there. We still ran very well with our crew to finish 11th. That was James Weber to Justin Perkins to Keegan Wick to Tanner Callis, and they went 346.14. Girls 4x4, the good thing is we've got depth on that 4x4, so we were able to slip well with Addie in there. So we had Maya come back in there. Maya Conroy came back in there, and she filled in that. We went 420. The girls went 424.79 to finish 6th. And that was Annika Fernals to Morgan Hansen to Maya Conroy to Micaiah Poost. So you really got to like the way they kind of went after it and to get that with that fill in to replace. 4x8 boys finished 11th. We were seated farther back than that, but that was really good to see us finish 11th at 932.39. For these four, that's our fastest time we've ever ran with these four. That's about, I want to say, 10 seconds or so, somewhere area faster than we've ever ran this year, so that's really good to see them come together. That was Justin Perkins, Jordan Perkins, Joseph Felton, and Tanner Callis. Girls 4x8, they've finally put together. I had told them before they could probably run 10.48. Well, they went better. They went 10.45.83, and they finished 6th with that, and they were seated 8th coming in, so that's really good to see them to be able to improve on their placing and their time. And that was Taylor Wood, Paisley Martinson, Annika Fernals, and Micaiah Poost. Shot put on the girls' side, Haley Anderson was 11th at 31.8 inches. Discus, Paige Meyer closed out her high school career in the discus with a personal best. She broke the 100-foot barrier, which is kind of that. You always have barriers or marks in every event as your goal to break. And yeah, I like the way she closed it out there her senior year to finish that with 4th at 101 feet, 1.5 inch. And Haley Anderson was 12th at 87, 11.5 inches. High jump, and that was the one we talked about. Where we're going to be with Brayson there. Brayson ended up finishing 2nd, 6'4". He was perfect through 6'4". Then on his first attempt, he missed at 6'4". And then he just kind of had to regroup a little bit, but had some really great attempts again. He continues to get these legs in there. He'll be fine with it. So he was 2nd. I knew it. The gray kid from Canby is very, very talented, and those two have been kind of going after each other all year, and that's been good for those each two to challenge each other that way. Then Eli Hagelin went 5'10". He finished 8th in there. So really good to see Eli have a good mark in that high jump also. Girls high jump, Ayanna Hasted was 6th at 4'10". She just couldn't she had 4'10" and a couple times and just couldn't quite get over. And that would have, if she would have cleared 4'10", then she would have been into that issue of having a chance to qualify for state. It's just how close it is that if you hold a couple things, you'll be fine. And she just came off a fraction off. Long jump, Brayson got second in the long jump, 21 feet 9 and 3 quarter inches. That is a PR for him. I think that is, I want to say it's a quarter or an inch off of the school record. So we're kind of hoping that we'll get a shot at that school record maybe this next week down there and see how he can do in that. Girls triple jump, Calista Borman finished 10th with a jump of 31 feet 2 and 3 quarter inches. And then also Hasted, Diana Hasted was 11th at 29, 10 and a half inches. Boys triple, Brayson was kind of that, we're seeing where he, you know, that was the other one, our third and final one, we thought we had a shot at it, and had some really good attempts, 43 feet 5 and 3 quarters, and I believe that is a PR for him. If it's not, it's within a, it's within 2 or 3 inches. So that put him, he had the lead going into the last jump. He was in first, and the Adrian kid was, he got his last jump, and the Adrian kid hit a big one, went 44 feet, his last attempt to move Brayson from first to second, and Brayson's like going, what do you do? You have everything set, and then something comes off at the end. And, but that's the competing, because, yeah, you wanted to win. Our goal was basically get to state. Be first or second, doesn't matter where you're at, we want to get to state. Then that's where you go for the big hardware, and that's what you have. So he ended up finishing into there, and that was, you know, a good second place in there. And also Eli Hagelin was in fourth, and that was a PR for him, 40 feet 8 1/4 inches. So that's breaking that 40 foot barrier again. That's a very great thing for him. Scoring wise, boys ended up finishing fourth. We weren't that far out. It just, again, we just had a couple of minor things, but still really liked the way we handled ourselves. Okay. Girls were 11th with 28 points. Didn't quite have, you know, you take Addie's points out of there, you know, you kind of nickel and dime it a little bit. We've been a little bit higher up in there. But I really liked the way the kids competed. They handled themselves very well, prepared themselves. I thought we had some really good, and they worked together. And that's the other thing is, you know, how well, especially the relays, how well you can support and work each other, and that was good to see.
I saw that Montevideo beat Laverne by 1 point.
Yep, it came
down.
It came down
any closer than that. Huh?
Yeah, it came down to the 4x4 actually, because both it was going to the 4x4. Monty was up by 3.
Okay.
And Monty and Laverne won it at that 4x4. So
wow.
And Laverne could end up beating the Monty kid at the end, so that's why it's a 2 point swing. So it turned into a 1 point. Wow. Spot. So both teams qualified for state, which was good. But
the top two teams.
Top teams qualified, okay. So they both qualified, but they still went at each other to have that 1 point swing on that on the final race.
Okay. So you got Brayson Boyd going to state?
Yep, we're going second
three, year. Three events.
You know, last year he was in 2 events.
Okay.
So now he's going in 3. He will jump the triple jump on Thursday.
Where's it at?
It's at St. Michael Albertville. Great facility there. You know, they've got a really high-tech facility with the system, with the timing. Everything is really, really nice there. So that will be a good spot for him. He'll jump on 3:30. They'll do prelims, and then they'll go into finals. Everything goes right. You know, he takes care of himself and gets himself into finals, and then anything can happen there.
Okay.
Then we'll come back on Friday, and he will this is where he had gotten kind of a mess last year down there, because the long jump and the triple jump are going on at the same, the long jump and the high jump are going at the same time. The good thing, you don't have to move too far, but they get really, really testy down there on allowing you moving from one event to the next. It's almost a point where you got to ask the judge who's there, and he may not let you go. And the other ones want you there to get your jump in. They're going to hold you and hold you and hold you, and then you got to move. Then you got to regroup mentally and physically to be ready to get your jumps in. Then you got to turn around and you got to go back again.
Okay. Awesome. Well, that's when? This week?
This coming week. This week, Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday at St. Michael Albertville.
Yes.
All right. Good luck to Brayson. I know there's a lot of Monty's got a lot of kids going. Cammy's got some kids going. And
McCray. There's a lot. Yep. Benson. So there's a lot of good from our surrounding area. Have a chance to go and do well.
All right. Good luck. Down at state, John. Thanks for coming in and filling us in on track again.
No problem. Thank you.
Head coach John Sherb of Lacapaw Valley Dawson Boyd boys and girls track team. We'll take a break, and we'll come back and hear baseball with Darby Biergon after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunday by appointment. The Country Butcher will deliver fresh cut and frozen products free of charge during the city's infrastructure project. Call between 10 and noon each day for delivery that day or evening. The retail store will remain open and will cut fresh steaks and chops and have fresh ground beef on hand. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
The Minnesota Valley Antique Farm and Power Machinery Association presents Heritage Days in Montevideo, Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th, featuring military machinery and Fairbanks Morse gas engines. There'll be tractor pulls, parades, live music, steam engines, swap meet and vendors, beer garden, food, and much more. Heritage Hill is located 4 miles east of Montevideo on Highway 7. Check out heritagehill.us for a complete listing of events or check their Facebook page out. That's Heritage Days in Montevideo, June 16th and 17th.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk La Caprile Valley baseball with head coach, first-year head coach, Darby Biergun. Darby's in the studio. Darby, you completed your first year.
Yeah.
Got it out of the way.
Went by fast, that's for sure.
So how did your first year go?
It was good, Paul. Being around ball for many years, you know, I kind of knew what to expect, but there was some curveballs. Not a joke there, but some curveballs thrown at me that I wasn't used to as a head coach, but I expected it, and I just roll with the punches, I guess.
All right. Well, we got one game to talk about. That's the section playoff game last Saturday, and then we'll wrap up the season.
Yep, that's right. So last Saturday, we traveled down to Granite Falls for a 1 o'clock game against Lakeview. Earlier in the year, we lost to Lakeview at home 8-9 on a really close game where we made a really strong comeback in the last inning. We almost won that game, but we came out on the short end of the stick, and the same thing happened on Saturday. So they had timely hits on Saturday's game where we did not, and we ended up losing 6-0. It wasn't a game where you're really upset with the way the boys played or anything like that, because we only had one error and didn't lead to any unearned runs or anything like that. It's just sometimes baseball, that's just the way it goes, is that the other team is able to piece together some hits, and unfortunately we were not. So in the game, there was three times that we had the bases loaded and we weren't able to scratch somebody through, so a big hit here or a big hit there maybe would have changed the game for sure. So for us, for hitting, Dylan Geiser was 1-for-3, Caden Molden was 2-for-3, Cale Benson was 1-for-2, and Landon Weber was 1-for-3 with a double. Cale Benson's hit was also a double, so we had a couple doubles out of that, but that's all we had for hits were the five hits on the day. So they came out and threw strikes and kept us off balance, which was is a big part of the game in baseball. So starting on the mound for us was Dylan Geiser. He came up with the loss. He threw 4 2/3. He gave up 2 hits, 6 runs, 6 were earned. He had 7 walks, and he had 7 strikeouts. So a little unusual for Dylan to have the walks, but, playoff baseball, first time that he's had playoff baseball since his freshman year because of the knee injury. So maybe a little bit of nerves and juice running through your body that you're not used to come playoff baseball. Brock Bierneld finished on the mound for us. He threw 2 1/3. He gave up 1 hit, no runs, so 0 earned. He had 2 strikeouts and no walks. So on the year, we finished 6-8. We were kind of throughout the year, errors kind of plagued us, walks kind of plagued us, and you take away some of those
injury
errors.
Injury bug, too?
Injury bug early in the year. That hurt us. I always say the ifs and buts, but we take away some of the errors and take away some of the injuries, and we're probably – 3-4 games above 500. Yeah. So, and we played with some of the best teams in the conference, which is also exciting for the year coming up.
Yeah, there's some good baseball in Camden Conference, isn't
there? There's some young good baseball coming up, so it'll be exciting for the next couple of years moving forward.
All right. Well, let's salute some of your seniors who put on the uniform for the last time, and some of the other ball players.
Sure.
Today.
Yep. You bet. So we had three seniors. First one we'll start with is Jacob Bringle. It was his first year coming out for baseball. Really enjoyed Jacob taking the jump into the game. I think he played maybe back in 7th and 8th grade, but the speed of the game is just a little bit different at the varsity level, but he loves to be a part of the team, and we love having him there. He was always dependable, always showed up, and ready to practice and do whatever it took for it to be a part of the team, so we really appreciate that out of Jacob. Joseph Ramsbacher was a pitcher and outfielder for us. Joseph's that short inning guy. He likes to get a couple innings in. He just, his arm, he doesn't like to throw too much because his arm gets a little bit sore, but when he comes in, he's usually throwing some strikes and keeping batters off balance, and he's a lefty, so it's always nice to have that lefty on the mound. So, and he played some solid outfield for us and had put some together some good at-bats, too, when he was up there. When he made contact, it was solid contact. So, hate to see the lefty go because he's a guy that loves the game and follows the game, not just high school game, but he's following the MLB and everything like that, too. Okay. So, and then the last senior we had is our catcher, Ethan Schomer. So Ethan did something for us this year that we didn't know how it was going to go, but he was willing to sacrifice what he likes to do for the better of the team, and you can't speak of anything better for a player or a person that was willing to do that. So we asked Ethan to catch for us this year. He never caught before, He was excited about it, and I'm glad he did a good job for a first-year catcher behind the plate there.
Yeah, it's like Ayanna Gibson on the softball team.
Ayanna
never caught before, too.
Yep, so Swati and I had that discussion, actually, we're putting two seniors behind the plate that have never caught before. But
good,
we knew that
them.
They both were bright enough and willing to work hard enough to help out the team. So Ethan had a really good year at the plate, too. He had a couple doubles and a triple and a home run. So his slugging percentage was pretty high. I don't want to say he changed his swing at all, but he just became more relaxed at the plate and stuff like that, where in the years past he struggled a little bit. So he had a very good job, did a very good job at the plate for us.
Well, for catching for the first time, I've said this on a number of baseball broadcasts, I think catching, the position of catching, is the toughest position in any sport, I think.
I would have to agree.
Yeah.
You know, they're in on every single play.
Yep.
You know, they're making the call, they're coach on the field, they're telling everybody where to go with the ball, so there's a lot going on in their mind at the time that they actually have to do everything else. So
yeah, you got to work with your pitcher, you got to make sure people don't steal bases,
right? Call the defense alignments and everything like that.
Good job then by Ethan.
Really appreciate Ethan as a captain, what he did for us also. So
three seniors, huh?
Three seniors. Okay. So we're going to bring back a slew of juniors and some sophomores that got some playing time this year, too. So.
All right. Mention them.
Sure. So Dylan Geiser, he's the junior coming back. He was also a captain. He came back first year back from his knee injury that he had, missed his sophomore year, so it was good to have Dylan back on. He batted .430 for us, and his on-base percentage was .500, so he was our number two stick in the lineup and was always solid there. We always look for Dylan to come through with a big hit, and he typically did. On the mound, he threw 34 innings for us. He gave up 27 hits, 45 strikeouts, and 19 walks. So pretty good walk to strikeout ratio there for Dylan. His ERA bumped up because of that last playoff game a little bit. He was right around 2 for most of the year, and he finished with 3.71. But his WHIP was 1.35, which is WHIP is walks and hits for each inning pitch. And that's kind of something that I kind of look at more than anything, is that WHIP number. And that's a pretty decent WHIP number for
Dylan. Say that again. What's it stand for?
Yep. WHIP stands for walks, hits, for amount of innings pitched. So basically he's given up a walk or a hit, just one per inning basically is where we're at. So if we can get below that one, that's a phenomenal WHIP number that we kind of watch.
I learned something new today.
There you go. Another junior coming back for us is TJ Mitchell. TJ played a wonderful center field for us. I don't know if you caught some of the last games, but he made quite a few diving catches. He's just so long. Any other ball that's hit out the center, we just figure TJ is going to get it because his length can get him there. He was injured early in the year, so he didn't get to play the whole season. He fractured his thumb in the first game of the year, so he had to sit out a few games, but he was antsy and wanted to get back as soon as he could and worked hard to do that. He batted .278 for us. Very put together a lot of good at-bats, falling pitches off and stuff like that. His on-base percentage was just under .500, so only playing a handful of the games, that was a big deal for TJ, and not being able to see a lot of pitches like he did because of the injury. He did a really good job when he did come back for us. Caden Molden was another junior that's going to be coming back. He hit .400 and his on-base percentage was .536. He was kind of our number three hitter in the lineup and played third base for us all year. Big, healthy swing, good-looking swing from the left-hand side, so we're excited to see Caden coming back. Another junior captain is Caden Mortensen. Mort played third base for us, first base for us, and he pitched for us a lot at the beginning of the year. Unfortunately, in football, he had a little bit of a trapezius injury, and then we asked him to try outfield one time. So in warm-ups, he dove for a ball, and I think he hurt his hip, and ever since that, he won't admit it, but I think it just it was kind of bothering him all year.
Okay.
So he had 15 and a third innings on the mound for us, and his whip was just above 2. So we would have liked to have gotten Caden on the mound a little bit more, but with a lot of non-conference games that we did not have, we only had one. Our kind of horses in on the mound kind of chewed up the innings for us between Brock and Dylan Geiser. So we talked about Ethan. Other juniors that we got coming back are Peyton Rademacher. Peyton Rademacher played right field for us. Has had a couple doubles on the year. Played a very solid outfield. Had a couple put outs at home plate. So he can put the ball on a dime defensively, throwing it in. Braden Danzeason was our DH. He kind of had the injury bug with some shoulders, so he kind of DH'd for us all year. Braden always put together some good at-bats, and he had a couple doubles on the year also. Some sophomores coming back for us. One that's going to come back, and he only had one game in before the injury, is Davis Patzer. So hopefully Davis can get some innings in this year, whether it's Junior Legion or Legion. He had knee injury that put him out, but the one game he did play, he was 2 for 3 with a single and a home run. So,
wow.
he missed him
this year.
Yeah. It would have been another nice bat to have in the lineup and on the mound for throwing and stuff like that. So we're excited to get Davis back next year.
He's a good athlete, too.
Very good athlete. Yep. I'm sorry I missed Cale Benson, another junior. Let me get back to him. Sorry about that. Cale played second base for us and a lefty and always put good at-bats together for us. So Cale, he kind of does all the dirty work. You know, he does the stuff that people don't see. He's backing stuff up. He's always in the right place doing the right stuff defensively. And he can put a bunt down if we need it and just battles at the plate mostly every single time he goes up. So Brock Biernield, another sophomore coming back. Brock played first base, but his main duty this year was pitching. He threw 32 innings for us. He gave up 32 hits. He had 29 strikeouts and 16 walks. His ERA was 1.97, which is a great earned run average, and then his whip was 1.5. So Brock was kind of our other horse on the mound when it came to pitching conference games. Tyler Earp saw some action as a sophomore. We really like Tyler's bat, and his effort in the outfield towards the end in practices, which again people don't see, some of the diving catches and stuff that he was making was fun to see, and we're excited to see Tyler play the summer and see what he can bring back next year. Dylan Keimig played short for us in left field. He was our leadoff. Dylan had a wonderful year at his first year as varsity as a sophomore. He batted .465, wow. And his slugging percentage was .558. So really good numbers for Dylan. He had 4 doubles on the year, 18 runs at the leadoff spot. So I think I've kind of described him as the table setter for the whole year, and that's okay. Exactly what he did. He would get on base, steal some bases, and score some runs for us. So super excited to see what Dylan's going to do this summer and coming back. Tegan Allpress saw some action for us. He played left field, and he did some courtesy running for us. He's a really fast guy. We're going to look to utilize his speed as the year move on here. And then another sophomore that came on really strong at the end of the year was Landon Weber. He started playing left field for us. He ended up batting just above .300, and he's got some pop in his bat. Once he learned to wait on the ball and push the ball if it's on the outside half or turn on the inside half, he's going to be a good stick, and we're looking forward to watching Landon play the summer and see what he brings back for us next year. And he's kind of a multi-purpose guy. He played outfield for us this year, but I know he also likes to catch, so he's probably going to be somebody that we're going to be working in that catching position in years to come.
Okay. Good roster there, Darby.
Yeah, we're excited for, you know, unfortunately, we hate to see the seniors leave, but right. There's a lot of young guys coming back up, so we want them to play as much ball as they can this summer and continue improving their skills and bring it to the team again next year.
All right, how about the coaches that helped there, your managers?
Sure,
or anything, or?
Yep. So my assistant coach was Josh Benson. He's been the assistant coach for Bart for many years. I couldn't do it without him. We run a lot of ideas during the school day and in the dugout all the time. He brings a lot of knowledge to the game. He works with the catchers a lot. But also just situations throughout the game and in practice and stuff like that. Mark Bjerneld was the JV coach. Mark, unfortunately, didn't get to watch his son Brock play a lot because Brock was up at the varsity level, but he was more than willing to, you know, jump in there and say, hey, I've watched a lot of games. I'm going to help these guys down at the JV level. So he had a pretty good year down at JV. I want to say they're over 500. I don't have that number exactly with me, but they're always right in the games and stuff like that. So down at the junior high level was Brian Mohn. He's been there for many years. I know Brian really enjoyed the year, and they finished the year strong. So, and then I had two volunteer coaches that helped out. Wyatt Halverson came in, former graduate, and Matt Munson would make it when he could. So it was great having those guys come in and help out when they could.
Good. All right. So that wraps up the Lock Barrel baseball season. Yeah,
that's the end of the year for us.
Cover everybody there, Hope?
Yeah, I think I got everybody. I know I ran through a lot there pretty quick, but yeah, I think we covered everybody.
Well, I want to thank you for coming into the studio every Saturday morning. Tell us about your team on the Coach Show, Darby.
Oh, yeah, it's my pleasure, Paul. I appreciate you guys' coverage and all the support we get from you guys.
Okay. Got year one under your belt.
Year one under my belt, yep.
Now you know, next year we'll play some more baseball.
We'll play some more ball and a little bit more smooth and know what to expect and have it ready to roll.
All right, thanks, Darby.
Yep, thank you, Paul.
Head coach Darby Biergon of the Eagles baseball team wrapping up their season there, and we'll take a commercial break. Come back, more of the Coach's Show after this.
If you like high school sports, you'll love the Camden Recap, an all-sports weekly newspaper covering the schools of the Camden Conference, covering 13 school districts comprised of dozens of communities. From RTR to Ortonville, TMB to KMS, Lac Parle Valley to RCW, Dawson Boyd to Canby, everywhere in between, they've got your Camden Conference sports covered. For advertising and subscriptions, email advertising@camdenrecap.com or call 320-297-1461. That's 320-297-1461 for the Camden Recap.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to wrap up the Lac Parle Valley softball season with head coach Scott Sawatsky. And Scott, it's always kind of sad to see your season end, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's, these kids commit so much time and energy, and it is. It's just a hard thing to see end, especially for your seniors. You know, that's kind of the finality of careers at that point when it comes to high school sports, and so sometimes you get to see some pretty raw emotions.
Yep, for sure. Well, let's back up, and I'm not even sure what day it is, Scott. I think it was last Saturday. Yeah, last Saturday. Yeah, you were down in Marshall, okay?
Yeah, Saturday the 27th, and we played my old stomping grounds, Murray County Central. It's where I graduated from, and they ended up getting us 16-6. They 10-runned us in six innings, and honestly, we played some decent ball besides the first inning and the fourth inning. Those two innings, we gave up 13 of the 16 runs, and just couldn't get stops. We gave up, out of those 16 runs, only 8 of them were earned. Taylor grinded for us, but the wind was blowing out. The field was hard as a rock. She ended up with 4 strikeouts and 7 walks, and it gave up 11 hits. And just a tough day. We, felt like maybe we missed some opportunities to get some calls on corners. I thought she hit some spots and just wasn't in our favor, and that's the way the game goes. But offensively, we didn't get a ton going. Our leading hitter was Ayanna Gibson, so it was nice to see her end her career out leading the way. She was 2-for-4 with an RBI and scored 2 runs. Other people, Taylor Shelstead had a hit. She was 1-for-3. Riley Lund and Taylor also scored a run. Riley Lund was 1-for-3 scoring a run. Kendall Shellstead was 1-for-3 also scoring a run. And Claire Borstead was 1-for-3. So we only had 6 hits, struck out 5 times and had a total of 4 walks. Mm-hmm. So we had some opportunities, just not an abundance of scoring opportunities. And long story short, our season was ended with a 16-6 loss.
Right.
County Central. So,
yeah, softball can be a funny game, the way things turn out and how things happen. I know Maury County Central went on, they got beat bad the next game in there.
Really bad against Owabasso. I think it was, at one point it was 17-0, I don't know, and you know, Owabasso's a team, they beat us 5-1.
Yeah.
And so just circumstances are, and that was a regular season game we had with Owabasso, but mm-hmm. circumstances are different, and you're right, it's a funny game, and momentum's a really big deal, and we couldn't get it rolling.
That's right. Well, that ended your season. I know we want to take some time and talk about your players and the season they had and salute those seniors. So,
we had our banquet on Wednesday night, and so that was a nice way to wrap some things up and hand out some awards and whatnot. But as far as our seniors, we've got 6 of them that they're going to be missed for sure. And I'll start off with 2 of them that were new to us this year. They wanted to come out in their first year. Sheridan Evenson, she's a senior and will be graduating. And Sheridan really didn't get much playing time this year, but she wanted to be a part of a team. And we're grateful that she chose our softball team to be a part of, because she really was an asset. Just positive energy. She was cheering. She was uplifting. Sometimes, especially with a young club, you can get down. Things didn't always go so well for us, and she was always right there to lift us up and keep our spirits as high as they could be. So really appreciated her energy this year. Cameron Lee is another one that came out for her first year. And, you know, honestly, both Sheridan and Cameron, I really wish we could have had them for the duration of their high school career, because in 1 year they made astronomical gains skill-wise mm-hmm. and softball IQ-wise. Cameron's a kiddo that she's got some pop in her bat. I know her, and she got some opportunities because she worked hard, was able to make some plays defensively in the outfield, and so early on, she got some opportunities to play, and I wasn't necessarily anticipating that as she started the year, because popping in as a inexperienced senior can be challenging, but she did a nice job as well. Maddie Matthews is a second-year player for us, and talk about, I don't know that I want to say a surprise is the right word, because she's such a gritty competitor, but she really ended up being a pretty solid defender for us out in left field, and really took over that role as our starting left fielder. She was originally sharing it with Cam, kind of splitting up, but Maddie ended up batting .344 for us with an on-base percentage of .394. So she really ended up having a nice season, and she too is a girl that I just wish we could have had for more time. I would have been excited to see how much more she could have developed.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Ayana Gibson. Ayana's, talk about a teammate, you know, just a positive player. Ayana hit .307 this year with a .354 on-base percentage. She had 15 singles, 7 doubles, a triple, 21 RBIs, scored 15 runs, and had 9 stolen bases. But Ayana's contribution to our team is so much bigger than her stats. She's a typical outfielder, and when Isabel Gerdes went down this year with her knee injury in basketball, she was our starting catcher, and that was a big blow. And Ayana, I talked to her, and she's like, you know what, if you need me to catch, I'll do it, whatever's best for the team. And that's the kind of player she is, just a outstanding individual, and certainly going to be missed, and Ayana was one of our 3 captains. Another of our captains was Riley Lund. Riley's a 6-year player. She's a stud. That's really all I can say. She's statistically, she is one of the best swings I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. She hit .434 with an on-base percentage of .500. Mm. So for people that don't understand that, the on-base percentage of .500 means she's on base 50% of the time, whether it's walks, singles, doubles, triples, getting on by an error, however, hit by a pitch, however she can get on, she gets on. And a 500 on-base percentage is kind of stupid impressive. And so she's had 23 singles, 7 doubles, and 3 triples, 20 RBIs, has scored 24 runs and 12 stolen bases. So, and the other thing about Riley is, A, her softball IQ is phenomenal. She just picks things up. She's an athlete. And as our center fielder, she's so smooth. When balls are hit to her, I just feel like, okay, that Riley's going to make that play. So she had an outstanding career. So I'm grateful for her. And then our last senior is Taylor Shelston. And Taylor's kind of a do-it-all. She's been in the program for 3 years. She started off as a sophomore. She was a left fielder. And then as a junior with last year's team, she moved into shortstop as an outstanding shortstop, and actually is nominated to play in the senior All-Star Series in Mankato.
Oh, wow.
She'll go as a shortstop. And so, but we needed her to step in and be our number one pitcher, and she was willing to put the saddle on her back. And we went as Taylor went. And it was a young squad. She knew that we were going to have some unique challenges, and we did, defensively in particular. And she just kept gritting for us. And so I think there's lots of accolades coming her way. But, yeah, she's one of 22 Class A players to be selected to play in that game. Taylor's, and for the record, Riley Lund was up for selection in that, too. And I think statistically really deserves to be playing in that game when I looked at the other girls nominated. But Taylor's batting average this year was .313, which is not as high as she would have liked it. I know she had higher goals, but her on-base percentage was .452, so she found ways to get on base. And when she's on base, she does damage. She had 16 hits, 2 doubles, 3 triples, 11 RBIs, scored 25 runs and had 20 stolen bases. She was our leader in stolen bases once again this year. She's freaky fast. Mm-hmm. So Taylor allowed us to be in any game we played. You know, when she was pitching, we knew we had a chance. We had to hit and we had to make plays. And if we did that, we competed. And if we didn't do that, it was more of a struggle. But those six seniors are just phenomenal individuals. They're great softball players, but even better people. Super intelligent students, and will undoubtedly do amazing things here after high school. And I'm just grateful that they were a part of our program.
Good, good. Yeah, that's your seniors. But Scott, you have a good young group coming back. Some talented ball players. Why don't you touch on a few of them?
Yeah. Yep. So we have. Some of the girls that got meaningful playing time, Kendall Shelstead, she's a sophomore this year, and she was our leading hitter. Just packs power and is a competitor. She played third base. She's tough as nails.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Lee was I don't want to say a surprise for us, but statistically she just exploded onto the scene this year. Started off as a 9 hitter and hit about right around .400.
Yep.
For the season, and really improved defensively too, and her softball IQ, especially on the bases, is pretty good as well. Brandy Myers, a sophomore shortstop, defensively we've got some things to work on, but technique wise, her feet and mechanics are so smooth. We've got to soften her hands up a little bit, but I really believe she has the potential to be a real special mm-hmm. shortstop. Kayla Jan was our second baseman, stepped in and really took that position over. I thought played really well defensively, so I'm looking for big things from her. We've got Claire Borsted, who will be a senior next year. She's a junior this year. She played right field for us. I'm not really sure. Claire and I have talked. There's some different possibilities that she might need to step in and fill. I am very hopeful that we'll get Isabel Gertis back next year as she recovers from her knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she'll ever catch again, but having her in the lineup, having her out there defensively is a big deal for us. So we're hoping that we get her back as well. And then I've got a couple, like Valerie Piatter is a girl that we're looking to really step into the circle and log a lot of innings for us next year, potentially along with Kendall Shelstead. But Val got some innings this year as a sophomore in varsity, and you know, did a nice job, and she's going to work at it, and I know she'll work at it. So
good.
I'm excited for her. And Hannah Oy is another one that logged some innings for us, and you know, mainly in base running situations. But I'm hoping that she'll put the time and effort in to keep growing and getting better for us, so that she can be a contributor as well next year. And there's some other ninth and tenth graders too that are going to be fighting and, you know, fighting to find that playing time. So that's exciting.
Okay. Well, how about your coaching staff helped you quite a bit this year?
Yeah. Just a big thank you to lots of different people. But my assistants are amazing. Tanner Peach is the varsity assistant. Mike White is the JV coach who will not be with us next year. He's heading to Morris for a different job, but so grateful for his time with us. Lindsey Kranz. And Johnny Garibay with the junior high, helping with them. And then Clint Bond helped with them a little bit towards the end as well, because those numbers with seventh graders are so big. And I had Ryan Lee and Ryan Grunholtz, who came out and did a lot of volunteering with our varsity and JV kiddos. So just a number of people that helped us out. And it's big, especially with a team where we're trying to grow their skills and develop them.
Okay. All right. Well, the memorable season. You know, we had a tailgate party out at Lock Barrel, tailgating that one time with the parents cooking up some food. That was fun. And the spring wasn't the spring that you're looking for weather-wise, but you got some games in.
We did. You know, we got 18 of our 20 regular season games. The parents are phenomenal, whether it's meals at away games or, like you said, that first annual tailgating party. Just their support is so important. You know, a big thank you to our dugout club sponsors and specifically our home run sponsors. They've got signs up on the back of that first base dugout. It looks really sharp. And we're gonna look to do a newspaper article just to talk about all the different things that have happened because of the financial support people have given us. So just a big thank you. And thank you to you, Paul, and KLQ Radio for the support of our girls and our games, and getting that out to people that maybe can't be there, you know, whether they're in the fields or live far away or just unable to make it. I know they're tuning in, and that really, really fires the girls up.
Yep. All right, Scott. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time each Saturday morning to talk about your team. I know you're very proud of them. And, well, what year is this? You finished your, what, second year or third year?
Second year, okay. Yep. Yeah.
All right, next year's three then. So
next year's three, yeah. And I do, Paul, before I go, I just want to wish good luck to all of our teams and individuals that are still in section play and advancing to the state tournament. We're rooting for you and very proud of the work and accomplishments everybody's put in.
All right. Real good, Scott. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you next year then. Have a great summer.
Thanks, Paul. Thank you. You too.
Scott Sawatsky, head coach of the Lock Barrel Valley softball team. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Hi, I'm Taylor Shelstead.
I'm Ayana Gibson.
I'm Riley Lund of the Lock Barrel Valley softball team.
The LQPV softball team would like to thank our Dugout Club home run sponsors for their donations of $500 or more. Thank you to Lovickson Tiling, Cargill, Zarbrook Funeral and Cremation Service, Holloway Rod and Gun Club, Fernholtz Concrete, Clement Electric, Appleton VFW Post 4955,
Meyer Farms, Piotr Construction, Trigested, Pioneer Seeds, Prairie Sun Bake Marietta, The Dryer Doctors, Martinson Foundation,
Bellingham American Legion Post number 441, Mike and Deanne Munsterman Family, Borsted Rock and Excavation, Q92 FM Radio, Madison Chiropractic Center, Richard and Sam Meyer Family. Thank you to our home run sponsors and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LQPV Dugout Club.
Here's a salute to the graduates from Madison Healthcare Services. As you travel down that road of life, there will be many unexpected turns and detours. See each one as an opportunity, not a roadblock, and you never know what great success may be yours. Best of luck in the future from your friends at Madison Healthcare Services. And a reminder to area graduates, many great opportunities in healthcare await you at Madison Healthcare Services.
And that wraps up another school coaches show here on Q92. Next Saturday, we'll start the Summer Baseball Coaches Show at 9 o'clock. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Madison Dawson, time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
Praising an agreement. I'm Paul Stevens, Fox News. President Biden heralding the bipartisanship that resulted in a debt limit deal that averted fiscal calamity.
President Biden touting the agreement that raised the nation's debt.